We're holding on Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, a little bit above the middle of the Amud, the line against Sha'olsa. We talked yesterday about the Mishnah had described a case where a person says the first black ox that comes out of my house will be hektish, and then a white one came out. Where Bishamai says it's hektish, Basil says that's not. And we had a few ways of explaining what the scenario was. We had Rapapa explaining at some length that the situation was that he has many black oxen, and in fact the white one came out first. And at first we thought that it meant then that he's going to say that the first black ox is going to be hektish rather than the white one. And then we ended up saying that, no, it means the white one actually will because it came out first, and we're going to have to reinterpret or ignore what he said about black. And then we had Abaya explaining that we're not talking about where they came out. We're not talking about where he's saying what's going to come out. He's saying what already came out. He was under the impression that the black one was the first one that went out this morning. And in fact, it turns out that it was the white one that went out this morning. And he says that, you know, in that case, then I would have said the white. So now the Gemara is going to bring a side point, which is going to relate back to this business about black versus white oxen. The Gemara says, Amar of Chista, Uchma b'chivra lokya. If you have a black ox among white oxen, and the white oxen are actually worth more than black, therefore lokya, this is a defect. What actually happens is, not only is the black one worth less, but when you have it among the white ones, then it winds up. If a person is selling them as a package deal, then people are likely to pay less for the white ones because of the black one among them. Psychologically, you know, you have something good together with something not as good. Then sometimes what happens is, you know, the fact that you have to take the not good with it, or the fact even that the not good is there, causes that people to pay less for the good ones. Then he continues, on the other hand, if you have a black ox, which is, we're saying, a black ox itself is okay, it's worth less than the white ones, but still, it's okay in itself, but if you find a white spot on it, lokya, then that also means that there's a defect. That means that at one point this animal had some kind of, had saras, or some kind of skin disease like that, and now it healed, and that white spot is the scar that's left from it. So that's what Rav Chista says. So in other words, the reason he's mentioning the second point really is just for parallelism kind of, but the important point is what's relevant to our sugya is the first point that white oxen are worth more than black in the sense that therefore, and so much so that if you have one black one among them, then it brings down the value of the whole group. Again, you know, Reb Levi Yitzchak has, with that explanation, Al Pi Kabbalah, that I've been quoting the last couple of days, he explains it further, that it has to do with black represents Gevura and white represents Chesed, and Chisse himself is related to Chesed, and therefore he points out this point, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's look at our Mishnah and see if it fits with that. We said Shachar, in other words, the first black ox, adds the word shur. So he says the first black ox that came out of my house first, or according to Abaya, we said it would have to be Sheyotze that will come out first, whatever, hektish. Then we're saying it's hektish. Now, at this point, we're still going within Abaya's explanation of the Mishnah that we're not talking about that we're saying what will come out. We're talking about where he's in the middle of the day. The oxen already left for the day to go graze, and he thinks that the black one went out first, and instead now it turns out the white one went out first. So, Tznan, now we learned in the Mishnah, Shachar Shiyotzim Vesi Rishon, the black ox that came out of my house first, Hekdesh, Kasakadaybach. Now, the Gemara starts with the assumption, for purposes of the question, Ki Makdish Ba'ayin Rahu Makdish, that when a person is Makdish something to, when a person declares something Hekdish, he does it Ba'ayin Ra, he does it a little bit, he's a little bit stingy about it, he tries to give away, he's not going to give away the worst thing, of course, but he's going to give away something that maybe is not as valuable as, he's not going to give away the most valuable thing that he has. So now, let's see, Va'ami Bes Shammai, have a hekdesh. And Bes Shammai is saying, in our case, that the white ox is hekdesh. So what would that be? If we're saying that Makdish Ba'ayin Ro'a Makdish, then why is Bes Shammai saying that we have to understand him to be saying that he meant to be Makdish the white one? The fact is, he said the black one, and it's true. Tosfos points out that it's true. He actually says, if I had known that the white one went out first, I would have said the white one. But we should say, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. The fact is that the Makdish Ba'ayin Ro'a Makdish, and therefore we should assume that he really did mean the first one that came out, which in this case happens to be the white one. So the answer is, the Gemara answers back, So what are you going to tell me then that we, instead you want to assume that when a person is makdish, he does it as generously as possible. He gives the best possible thing. Well, what about the next part of the Mishnah? We said, dinner zav shiyala b'yadi rishon, the first gold dinner that comes up in my hands, the ola kesef, and instead it came up one of silver. Bes Shammai still says it's hektish. Obviously, silver is worth less than gold. If we were to say makdish v'ayin yof makdish, then there would be no reason that the silver one would be kaddish. Then we would say that the next time he pulls out a gold one, then that would be hektish. So that piece alone, the part about dinner shel zav and shel kesef, obviously shows that I'm buying raw makdish. Well, then we're back to our so if we say buying raw makdish, then yes. Then we're back to the question. Then what about the white and the black ox? Based on what Rav Chisda is telling us, the white one is better. So we should actually say that he meant to be makdish the black one. And the Gemara answers back, the Elamai b'ayin ro'a makdish. Okay, so now you're telling me on the basis of the story with the gold and the silver dinner, you're going to tell me that he's makdish b'ayin ro'a, that he's looking with a bad eye and he wants to be makdish the minimum possible. Well, then what about the next case in Mishnah? Chovas cho yayin shetala b'yodri rishon. He says the first barrel of wine that comes up in my hand, or as we said, according to Abaya, it wouldn't be in this, and in the case of the dinner, it wouldn't be shetala or shayala. It would be sha'ola that already came up, because we're talking about the coin Abaya that he previously pulled out a coin and he thought that it was gold and it turns out silver. He pulled out a barrel and he thought it was wine and it turns out it's oil. And he said va'ola shel shemen and it turned out to be oil. V'shamayim em hekdesh. Now v'ha shemen odif miyayin. Isn't oil worth more than wine? So that would mean that a makdish b'ayin yof a makdish, because the Shammai is saying that nonetheless the oil becomes hektish. So what's going on over here? Do we say makdish b'ayin yof a makdish? Well, in that case, how do you explain the story with the gold and the silver? Do you say makdish b'ayin ro'a makdish? Then how do you explain the wine and the oil? And when it comes to the oxen, where Chista is telling us that white oxen are better than black ones, So why is it that we're saying in the end that the white one becomes Kaddish? Is it Makdish Ba'in Yofa Makdish, and that would explain it? Or is it Makdish Ba'in Ro Makdish? And then you have a question, well, why would the white one, why wouldn't we ignore what he said and say, to use Tosfos' expression, that he's lying when he says, I would have said the white one, and assume that after all he means the black one, since the black one is the one that went out first? So the one answer is Imishum Ha Loikasha. Fine, if you're only going to ask based on the one with the wine and the oil, then it's not such a big question. The Galila Shanu, because the Mishnah can be talking about the situation in the Galil, the Chamra Odif Mimishka, where wine there is more expensive and more precious than oil. The Galil, particularly, is the area of Eretz Yisrael where lots of olive trees grow. So therefore, oil, oil is plentiful and cheap over there. You have, for example, the story in Menachos of the guy who needs to go and buy an enormous amount of oil, and they send him off to Gush Cholov, and eventually he talks to a farmer over there who measures him out of a million and more dinars worth of oil. That Gush Cholov is in the north of Eretz Yisrael, in the Galil. So oil is cheap and plentiful over there. Wine, not so much. The Galil is not as good. Is not as good a region for growing grapes as the south of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so you could say that then the Mishnah is still talking about that makdish ba'ayin ra'a makdish. So therefore, Bishrama is saying that therefore, fine, let the oil be kodesh. We're talking in the Galil, where that's how it would be. Okay, but still, reisha kashal of chista, but still the reisha is difficult for a chista. If the white one is better, so if we're saying then that the second and third cases of the Mishnah tell us makdish ba'ayin ra'a makdish, then in the first case, why did we end up saying that the white one becomes makdish rather than the black one? And the answer is Amalach Rav Chista will answer you. Ki Amri, what I said about white and black oxen, respectively, the Torah to Kamenoi, that would only apply to oxen from Kamenoi. Kamenoi is a place. There was actually an area of the Persian Empire in those days called Kamana or something like that, or Kamani or whatever. It's in eastern Iran nowadays, not far from Afghanistan. So particularly there, the oxen that came from there, then the white ones are better than the black ones. So if you're in Karmanoi and you make such a nether, then yeah, that's how it would be. But other places, the black ones may be better, or they may be equal. And Beit Shammai is not talking about Karmanoi, they're talking about other places. So therefore we mean that he needs to be makdish the white one because it's a lesser value than the black one, and makdish by and raw makdish. That's what we talked about yesterday, that Tosfos explains why the mission needed three cases over here, because one case tells us this part about what Rav Chista is saying about white versus black and their respective, and then what they're worth respectively in different places. The dinner Zahav and Kesef makes it very clear that Makdish Vayin Ra Makdish, because there's no way to understand it otherwise. And the part about the wine and oil again tells us that, for example, in the Galil versus the south of Eretz Israel, there's going to be a difference in wine versus oil.
This is the Shammai, right?
This is all within Beis Shammai's opinion, yeah. Okay. The Gemara says another statement of Rav Chista. A black ox is best as far as its skin. When it comes to using the skin of the ox, a black one, the skin is a better quality than other colors. Sumkal bisrei, a red or reddish ox, we don't mean a paradum, we just mean like just a brownish one, is good labisrei for its meat. The meat of such an ox or a cow is better than of other colors. Chivra l'ridya, and a white one is best for plowing, for actually getting work out of it. It's interesting, by the way, the Gemara elsewhere talks about in Brachas and in Psachim that a black ox during Nissan time is particularly dangerous. It's in heat then, it's in a wild mood, and it's likely to be destructive. So maybe that has to do with, plowing time is not Nissan, plowing time is Cheshvan, but maybe the idea is that white oxen are more tractable, they're more obedient, whatever, and therefore you're going to get more useful work out of them, whereas black ones are black ones are more likely to go wild, and therefore you're not going to get as much useful work out of them, but the skin of them is good to use. Okay, so again, the Gemara asks, well, Amar Rav Chista Uchma B'chivra Lachya, didn't Rav Chista also say, we just said before, that one black ox among a bunch of white ones brings down the price of all of them? So what are you telling me then, that the black one has an advantage as far as its skin, even more than the white ones? And fine, you're not going to say, now the Rosh says, okay, you could say that on the other hand, it's not as good for plowing. Fine, I understand that, but that it should be so much worse that you should say that brings down the value of all the white ones when it itself has the advantage in terms of its skin, which is also worth a lot of money. So how could you say that? And the answer is, again, Rav Chista answers, Ki Amri, but turn it to Kamunoi. Again, I'm only talking about oxen from Kamunoi, where the black ones are much worse than the white ones, but other black oxen from other places, it's true, they may not be as tractable, they may be a little wilder than the white ones, but on the other hand, their skin is worth a lot more, and therefore, so it kind of balances out, so therefore, black ones from other places are not worth that much less than white ones.
Very easy to understand that.
Yeah.
You look at something.
Okay. Well, that's it. This is oxen we're talking about, but yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Mishan Nadar Ben Nazir, we touched on this Mishnah yesterday. Mishan Nadar Ben Nazir, if a person made a neder of Nazirus, for Nishal Lachacham, and then he went to be Matan Neder to a Chacham. Now, we're talking about, as we're going to see in the continuation of the Mishnah, and in the Gemara, we're going to talk about where during the time before he was Nishal, he was over on his Neder. He was drinking wine, or he was drinking wine, for example, which, now we're going to learn in the next parak, by the way, that Tuma, of course, breaks up a Nazir's Nazirus, and now he has to start all over. Shaving also to a certain extent breaks it up. We learned this earlier in the Masechta, because he needs to have at least 30 days growth of hair at the end. But, you have drinking wine, there's no particular consequences as far as it affecting the Nazirus. Malchus he's gonna get, but because he's over on a neder, multiple Malchus, in fact, as we learned in Nidarim, but it's not gonna affect his Nazirus in the sense that even if he was drinking wine for the entire 30 days, nevertheless, at the end of it, he's done 30 days of Nazirus as far as shaving and Tumah, and he can bring his Karbanos. He's gonna be over on drinking wine, but it doesn't make that we're not gonna, say that the days didn't count as Nazirus. So now in this case, so he went and asked the Chacham, the Osrei, and the Chacham told him that you are in fact Osir. In other words, the scenario would be, like we talked about yesterday, that he went to ask the Chacham, the Loshen that I used to accept Nazirus, was it even a valid Loshen? And the Chacham tells him that yes. So Moina Mishosh and Nadar, so he counts his Nazirus from the time when he made the Neder. So in other words, so the Mishnah sounds like it's saying that he doesn't need to add any extra days. All he needs to do, it sounds like, is just complete the days that he did so far. We're going to see in the Gemara that that's not necessarily what it means. On the other hand, Nisha L'Chacham V'Hitiroi, on the other hand, if he asks the Chacham and the Chacham is Matir, not Matir Neder, but in the sense that the Chacham tells him that to begin with, there was never any Nazirus over here because your Loshen was wrong. So therefore it comes out there was no Nazirus. That's as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, even Beth Shammai agrees that then there's no Nazirus. Beth Shammai would say, as we've learned so far, Hektish Tos Hektish. They're also going to say Nazirus Tos is Nazirus, as we're going to have in the next Mishnah, and as we talked about yesterday, the case we have a bunch of people seeing somebody coming towards them and saying, this is that. Yeah, we learned it yesterday. This is Moshe. This isn't Moshe, etc. Yeah. Beth Shammai is the Chomer. They're saying that even when there's a Tos, he's still a Nazir. He's still a Nazir.
Yes.
Yeah. So Beth Shammai is not going to hold of the concept of being Matu Neder on Nazirus. But, so in order for our Mishnah to work, we have to be talking about, again, that we're talking about that he's asking, was the Loshen that I used even a right Loshen? And the Chacham tells him it was not. So now.
It was not a good Loshen.
It was not a good Loshen, therefore you weren't a Nazir in the first place.
You are.
You're not a Nazir in the, because it wasn't a good Loshen. You said a Loshen. Well, then it's not a matter of Bashama and Basil being the Kol or the Chomer. Then it means that in other words, there was no Nazirus and then to be Chal in the first place, right? So in that case, Hoist Aloy Behemoth Mufreshes. In that case, if he had animals that were already designated for his Karbonus, Tates of a Tira Be'eder, then those animals can go out and graze with the rest of the flock, meaning that it's not one of those cases where they have to wait till it develops a mum and give it to Nedava, or that it should be a Chatas Amesa or anything like that. Because there was no Nazirus here in the first place. So Omru Beshilul Beshamai. So now Beshilul says to Beshamai, given that you agree with that din, that particular din, and then we're saying over here, it's not even Hektish Tos, because the fact is, it's one thing Tosfos says in the previous Mishnah about the black ox and the white ox. So you could say, I mean, he wanted that there should be some kind of Hektish Chal. So it could be, for example, that he doesn't care whether it was black or white. We had a point out by his explanation. He didn't really mean Dafka the black. He was saying, I said black because I thought that was the one that went out first. I thought I recognized the hoofbeats, and now it turns out that not. But over here, there was no Nazirus at all. So, and therefore he set aside the animal for the Nazirus. So it's not even Hektish Tos. So even Beth Shammai is going to agree that Tates of a Tira Be'eder, that the animal can go graze with the other animals, it has no kedusha at all. In other words, Tosfos compares it to the case. Imagine you have a person who's not chayav achatas, and he says, I'm designating an animal for achatas. What happens? Nothing. Same thing over here. So now Beth Hillel says to Beth Shammai, So Omer Basil of Ashamai, Iat the Murder Mazeshu Hektish Toes, the Tates of the Tiramader. So the fact is, don't you agree in this case, this is an example of Hektish Toes, and you're telling me that the animal can go graze with the other animals. So in other words, Ashamai is saying, Basil is saying, this is kind of a case of Hektish Toes. He thought that he's Chayev, and it turns out that he's not. So why should it be any different than any other kind of toes? So why in the case of the black ox or other cases of hektish toes are you saying differently? Now, Tosfos says, but Shammai could have just answered, listen, you know, we just said, Tosfos just explained that it's worse than hektish toes, because here, because in the case of hektish toes, in the case of the black or the white ox, he meant to be maktish, otherwise he wouldn't have said anything at all. Here he really thought that he was a nazir. But instead, Beis Shammai is going to say to Beis Hillel, they're going to give an answer. Listen, even if you think to argue that we ourselves hold they're not klal similar, so you can't learn one from the other anyway. But you are arguing that they're similar. We'll give you a counterexample to show you where there is a case of toes that actually does become hektish. So therefore, we have the right to say therefore that the black and the white ox also it's going to become hektish. Tosfos also points out, by the way, that when it comes to the woman whose husband was nefer for her, which we learned in the previous parak, they always say that's different because the animals still have residual kedusha because megas gaiens, because we said the husband cuts off the naziris from now on. Here we're talking about we said that even if the husband is meker okar, we said Rabbi Lazar Akapa would still say she's chayev to a certain extent the chatas because she swore off wine and then Rabbi Lazar Akapa calls such a person a choyte. Whereas over here, so this is where we talked about this before, that Tosfos says over there, the neder was chal for a little bit, and then even if we say miyaka oko, then he's canceling it, not just mikana labba, fine, he's canceling it, I'm afraid, but it was chal for a while. Here, there was no neder to ever be chal in the first place, because it turns out the lashon that he said was not even a valid lashon. So even Rabbi Lazar HaKafa is not going to say that there's any basis to be bringing any kind of korban, and therefore the animals are completely chulin. So again, Beis Hillel is saying to Beis Shammai, well, isn't this an example of hektish toes? And you agree that in that case, Tetzav Tira Be'eder. So then in that case, how can you argue otherwise in the case of other cases of toes? Omelahen Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai answers back to Beis Hillel, you know what? I'll give you a case of toes where it's actually hektish, which even you agree. Iatamodim, don't you agree? When it comes to Meister Behema. Now, Meister Behema, how do you do it? You have the animals in a pen, you open the gate, they go out one at a time, and you count them, and every 10th one you mark it with red paint and say that this one is Kaddish, and then you take all the red painted ones and bring them as korbanos. Now, so the Mishnah describes at the end of a chodesh, the Mishnah Torah, a person who made a mistake, the kordel chi asiri, he calls the 9th one number 10. So he mixed up his count, and the 9th one came out. He thought that it was the 10th, and he calls it the 10th. Then he realizes his mistake and he figures, okay, well, if I call the 9th one 10, then let me call the 10th one 9, and then I'll get back on track. And then then he further forgot. And then when the 11th one came out, he thought, well, the last number I said was 9. Therefore, the number I should say is 10. And the din is Shehu Mekudesh. All three of them have Dusha, and the Mishnah at the end of Bechoros describes what exactly you do with each one of them. The ninth one you have to wait until the ninth one that you mistakenly called 10, you have to wait till it develops a mum, and then you use the money for a different korban. The 10th one is the actual bechor, and you bring it as a bechor, and it has all the dinim of that. The 11th one, you have a machlokes tanoim over there, whether you bring it as a shlomim or not. Anyway, you have such a scenario. The Alter Rebbe, by the way, gives us in Tanya as an example of one of those mistakes that may never happen in real life, but nevertheless, the Torah still deals with the question of it, and you have to say, the Alter Rebbe discusses in Kundas Achen, in Lohavin Prote Alofis, that what's the point of it? It's one thing, for example, when a person does an Aveda, then it's something from Klipas Noga, but here where it's something that he completely forgot. How can it have even to do with Klipas Noga? And then there's a note there from the Tzemach Tzedek that nonetheless, maybe forgetfulness has something to do with Klipas Noga as well. Anyway, the point is that so you have such a possible scenario, and you basically agree that even though there are lots of mistakes involved, they all three have a degree of Kedusha. So you see that there is a concept of Hektish Toes, so what's your problem? Omer lahem Bishilol, so Bishilol answers them. It's not just a matter of toes. Loi hashevet kidshoi. It's not only because the stick was on it, that he placed the stick with the red paint on the 9th one or on the 11th one and called it 10, because if that's the case, suppose he put that same stick on the 8th one or on the 12th one, Shema Osaklum, did what he do count for anything? No. So it's not only a matter of whichever one he accidentally hits with the stick. If he were to call the 8th one number 10, so he made a bigger mistake, nevertheless, we would still say we ignore that. The concept that the Kedusha of the 10th extends to the 9th and to the 11th is only those, not any further up and not any further down. So that's just a matter of toes. Ella, all it is Kosuk Shekidish Hasiri, the same Kosuk that tells us that the 10th one is Kodesh, Hu Kiddush Hashi, that's Achad Aser, that's the same one that makes up the 9th or the 11th one become Kodesh. You learn it from Sukkim. The Gemara learns at the end of Bechoris over there from Sukkim. So in other words, basically we're saying it's a matter of Xeris HaKosu, that the 9th or 11th, it's not only, of course, it has to, in order for it to happen, it has to be triggered by a Tos, but it's not the Tos exclusively that makes it so. It's the Tos plus the Kosuk that tells us that such a Tos has an effect. It doesn't apply to the 8th or the 12th. So you can't learn from there. And Tosfos adds, really, that even Beis Shammai is not using this argument from Maaseh Behemah as their primary argument. Their primary argument, we said before, is that we said at the beginning of the Gemara yesterday that they're comparing to Tamura, where Tamura can be done even if you misspeak, and the same thing Hekdesh can be done even if you misspeak, and the soul disagrees. But they're saying, in other words, that Yubis Hillel, you think that's a compelling argument. That's not even a compelling argument because Maaseh Behemah is a special case. So we're not learning from Maaseh Behemah at all. We're learning from Tamura. So Gemara says, Mani Masnissin. Now, the earlier part of our Mishnah, where it said, again, that a person made a Nedir of Nazirus, then he was violating it, then he goes to a Chacham to ask, was this even a valid Nazirus? And the Mishnah had said, Moina Mishashin Nadar, that he counts from when he made the Nazirus. So Mani Masnissin, who would our Mishnah be like? Loi Rab Yosi v'loi Rabbanan. It seems to be like neither Rab Yosi nor the Chachamim in this context. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Misha Nader of over on Nazirus. So if a person made a Nader of Nazirus and then he was over on it and he drank wine, for example, so Tosfos gives an example. Let's say he accepted Nazirus for 100 days and during 60 of those days he was drinking wine and now he wants to bring his Korbanus. So in this Kokin Loi, the Kohenim will not even deal with him. So forget about being Matur Nader. Forget about when he comes to a Chacham to be Matur Neder, but even the Kohenim, when he comes to the Beis Mikdash with his Korbanos, they're not even going to deal with him. They're going to tell him, go away. Unless he continues to count extra days corresponding to the days where he did Heter. So, for example, in Tosfos' scenario, he had made a Nazirus of 100 days for the first 60 of them when he was drinking wine. Then the Kohenim are going to tell him, I'm sorry, you need to do another 60 days before you can bring your Korbanos. They won't actually be considered part of your Nazirus. So, for example, when we learned earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to learn later on about the case where the Nazir becomes Tomei and loses all of his days, it's already after Malois, it's already after completion of his Nazirus. So, fine, he wants to start all over if he becomes Tomei during those 60 days, but nonetheless, until those 60 days are over, you still can't drink wine, you still can't become Tomei, you still can't cut your hair. 60 days from now, come back and you can bring your Korbanos.
Even though he said 100 days.
So he said 100 days, but that's the thing, because the 100 days, because 60 of them he had been drinking wine. So now he needs to make up another 60 days. Now he needs another 60 days to make up for that.
But he's making up a 60 day, but he didn't have 100 days of real Nazirus.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Because he had 40 days of real Nazirus because he made the Nedir of Nazirus. For the first 60 days, he was ignoring it and drinking wine. Then the last 40 days, he thought to himself, you know what, I better shape up. I better stop drinking wine. So he had 40 days of full-fledged Nazirus. Now the Kohenim tell him, you need another 60. Rabbi Yossi says, when you're dealing with a long Nazirus of that, it's enough to have an extra 30 days. Even if he was violating it for 60 days, Rabbi Yossi will be telling him, fine, the Kohenim will tell him, come back with your Korbanos, but you don't have to wait 60 days because you were drinking for 60 days. It's enough 30 days because 30 days is the minimum Nazirus. So now, who does our Mishnah follow when our Mishnah seems to be saying that you don't have to do anything at all? That you don't have to add any extra days. Irabbanan kashin nizirus mu'etes. Irab Yosi kashin nizirus meruba. Now, you have different gersois over here. The gersa that we have in front of us is the gersa of the Mefarish. So if you say in according to the Chachamim, then the question would be from Nezirus Mu'etus. The question would be from a short Nezirus. And in fact, the Mefarish says, according to the Chachamim, the question really would be from a long Nezirus anyway. Either way, short or long, the Chachamim are saying that he has to make up for the days that he didn't do the right thing. And Rav Yosi kasha Nezirus Merubah, and if it's Rav Yosi, then you have a question from Nezirus Merubah, from a long Nezirus. The Mishnah is implying that even if it was a long Nezirus of 100 days, and he didn't keep some of it, then the Mishnah sounds like all he has to do is wait till the end of the 100 days, and Rav Yosi is saying that you need, or no, just the opposite. The Mefarish learns that what it means is, that if he violated his Nezirus part of the time, then actually he's going to have to, so the Mefarish learns a case, let's say, where he did half of it for Tara and half of it for Isser, and then Nishal, when he asks about it, he's going to have to fill up until 100 days, implying he's going to have to do an extra 50 days, because 50 days he did no good, and Rav Yosi would be saying only 30 days. So the mission doesn't work out according to him either. So that's Rashi's gears, and that's the Mefarish's gears then. Tosfos, on the other hand, switches around the girsa and has that if we're saying according to the Chachamim, the question would be from Nezirus Merubah, and if according to Rav Yosi, the question is from Nezirus Mu'etus. Namely, Tosfos explains that if on Mishnah went according to the Chachamim, then even by Nezirus Merubah, so you have, let's say, he was drinking wine throughout the 100 days, and he's losing all those days and has to start all over, and yet the Mishnah seemed to be implying that he doesn't. He just, at the end of the 100 days, he brings his korban, and that's that. Or Nezirus Mu'etes, if it was a 30-day Nezirus, and he was drinking wine for 2 days, and he needs to make up 2 days, the Mishnah is saying that he doesn't lose anything at all. Even if we learn that the Mishnah means Moina Mishash Nadar, means he has to do 30 days, but 30 days is only according to Rav Yosi. According to the Chachamim, it wouldn't necessarily be 30 days, it would be however many days his Nezirus was to begin with, and however many days he violated. And if you're going to say that the Nezirus, and if it's going to be Nezirus Mu'etes, if our Mishnah is talking about a short Nezirus, then even Rav Yosi is saying that you lose the entire 30 days, and the Mishnah seems to be implying that not. So who is our Mishnah like? So the one answer is Iboris Tamer Rav Yosi, Iboris Tamer Rabbanan. You could say usually it's Iboris Ema. I guess this is one of those Loshen Nedarim Mishuna things. Anyway, Loshen Nazir Mishuna. Anyway, so Iboris Tamer Rav Yosi, Iboris Tamer Rabbanan. Actually, no. You could say that our Mishnah works according to either Rav Yosi or the Chacham. Iboris Tamer Rav Yosi, Kan Menezirus Merubah, Kan Menezirus Muetes. Yes, you can distinguish between a long Nezirus versus a short one. The Mishnah is talking about a Nezirus Merubah. So he doesn't. So when the Mishnah says Moina Mishash and Nadar means that he can count some of the time from when he made the Nedar. He doesn't lose all that time, like the Tanakhama says. If he had been drinking, let's say the entire Nezirus, the whole 100 days of the Nezirus, let's say, or 50 days to use the Mefarish's example, Rav Yosi is saying he's going to lose only 30 days. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying then that he is able to use some of the days that he kept so far, even though he was violating them by drinking wine. Nevertheless, they still will count towards the Nezirus. Rav Yosi is only going to make him lose 30 days. So the Mishnah can be understood like that. The boys tamer abanan, or you could say that the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim and saying that he always loses the number of days that he didn't keep. But loy tamer mishash and nazar, you shouldn't learn the Mishnah mishash and nazar, meaning from when he made the Nezirus. In other words, it continues to count from then, and he hasn't lost anything. He hasn't lost very much. Elak emakim mishash and nazar. The Mishnah means like the amount of time from when he made the Nezirus. So in other words, if it had been a Nezirus of 100 days and he drank wine throughout the whole 100 days, then we're going to tell him you need a whole another 100 days. Kim Yishash Nazar, the equivalent amount of time from when he made the Nezirus. So the Mishnah can be understood like that. In that case, that it would follow the opinion of the Chachamim against Rav Yosi. You would say that in that case, you only need 30 days.
So I understood that he's being over by drinking wine, but he's still, like you say, he's still keeping his Nezirus, still going to
see. So that's the thing. In other words, yeah. So what we would say is, because he was over on one of the dinim of the Nezirus, namely the drinking wine, of course, it's also going to be eating grapes and so forth. The next parak is going to talk about that in great detail. So then, what it is midaraisa. You're right, midaraisa. He's considered a regular nazir during that time. He's just a nazir who was being over on his nazir. So midrabbanan was saying we're going to penalize him and make him do extra days. So according to the Chachamim, it's going to be the whole number of extra days that he first violated, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's always going to be capped at 30.
And he always gets yours, and I'll get Malchus also.
Right? Malchus is going to get if there was 8 of Asra, sure. Oh. But we're not getting into that yet. You could have a case. Imagine, for example, that, you know, he was drinking the wine in private. Now he comes to enter to bring the korbanos, and the kohenim ask him, so tell me, Rabbi, how did your naziris go? And he blabs and ends up telling them that he drank wine. So then they'll tell him, I'm sorry, you know, take a hike, come back 30 days or so, or 100 days or whatever it is from that. Yeah. So yes, so our Mishnah can go according to the Chachamim or according to Rabbi Yossi, depending on how you learn it. We said in the Mishnah, Nishal HaChachamim V'Yitiruhu V'Chola, we said that if he asked the Chachamim, and they were matir, in the sense, not we said matir neder, but rather they told him that the Lashon that he used was not a Lashon of Nazirus in the first place. So we said now the animals have no Kedusha at all. So and this Hillel tried to use that as an argument against Beis Shammai to say that you see that Hekdesh Tovus is not a valid Hekdesh. Because that's a case of toast.
That's why they can throw it around and they with all the rest of the animals.
Yeah. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yumia, Mid Beis Shammai Nishma L'Beis Hillel. Based on what Beis Shammai is saying, we can also learn about something that Beis Hillel would say in a similar case. Namely, Lav Amri Beis Shammai Hektish B'Toast Have a Hektish. On the one hand, you see, Beis Shammai holds that hektish toes is hektish, but in this case, it's less even than a toes. Kivendi glai milsa belav shaper nazar. Here it turns out that the nazirus was not even a proper nazirus because the lotion that he used did not even amount to a lotion of nazirus.
Never started.
Tates of a chit of eder, and therefore the animal can go and graze with the other animals, and it has no kedusha at all. Well, the Beis Hillel nami. Then in that case, we can derive from that something that Beis Hillel would say. In the case of Afagab de Ami, Tmura Batos, Havi Tmura, they agree that Tmura Batos is a Tmura, as we learned at the beginning of the parak. If a person were to have three animals in front of him, a Shlomim, an Ola, and a regular animal, and he means to say this animal, this third animal, should be a Tmura for the Shlomim, and instead he said a Tmura for the Ola, then it'll be a Tmura for the Ola. And so even though he misspoke, nevertheless, we still hold him to it. So even though Beis Hillel holds that, Hanimili Hechad de Isil Iker Hektish. That would only apply where the original hektish still exists. Avol hechad misakar, but if that gets uprooted, avol hechad misakar, ikar hektish, but if the ikar hektish gets removed, so in other words, so let's continue the scenario. Let's say, for example, he made a tmura. So let's say, forget about two animals. He just had a tmura, he just had two animals, a one that he had declared a korban and the other one that he wants to make a tmura. If now he's later on, if he makes that tmura, later on he's matir neder on the original one, then the tmura also goes away. Because now, again, when he's matir neder, it means, in other words, in effect, it was a mistake. The meikara, so it makes, and then, so he's akam nami tmura, so now the tmura gets uprooted as well, and therefore there's no tmura. So even though Beis Hillel is not dealing explicitly with that case, Rabbi Yirmiyah says you can derive it from what Beis Shammai is saying in this case. The fact that Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai that don't you agree that it's hektish toes and takes of a tira be'eder, so we see, in other words, because it comes out there was no Kabbalah, there was no acceptance of Nazirus in the first place, and so the same thing would apply over here where he was matir neder on the ola, because in other words it's the equivalent now retroactively of having said that this should be a tmura for an animal which is cholin, which of course nothing happens in that case. Okay. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said Omer Mar, is usually an expression when quoting something from a Brais or Amoraim or whatever, but anyway, we said in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel used as an argument against Beis Shammai, what about the case of, or Beis Shammai used against Beis Hillel, the case of Maisa Behema, that we see that a mistake becomes Kodesh, so why shouldn't it be the case by other cases of Hektish Tos? So Itzmar, so now we have a discussion on that point. Maisa, when it comes to Maisa Behema, Rav Nachman Omer Tousei V'Loi Kavanasa. Rav Nachman says when we say that the 9th of the 11th can become Kaddish is only if it was a mistake. He really thought the 9th one was the 10th one, and therefore he declared it as that. Veloy kavanosai, but not if he actually meant to, if he knew that this one was the ninth and deliberately called it the tenth, then that din would not apply, says Rav Nachman. Because what we learned from the Psukim, this concept that we learned from the Psukim, that the ninth or the 11th should be Kaddish, Rav Nachman holds that that's only, that's only when he did it by mistake. Rav Chista and Rav Barav Huna Amri, on the other hand, Rav Chista and Rav Barav Huna say, To'usei v'choshken kavanosei. It happens when he made a mistake. All the more so it happens when he did it the kavana. It's a gzeres hakosuv, and it applies not only when he made a mistake, but even when he did it deliberately. The Gemara over there in Bchoris explains that what it is it has to be that the tenth one was not already called tenth. So the ninth one, fine, the tenth one hasn't been called yet. But the 11th one, for example, the 11th one is going to become Kaddish only if the tenth one had not been called tenth. The scenario we had was he called the ninth one 10, and then he called the tenth one 9. So he never actually said the word 10 over the tenth one. But if he actually called the tenth one 10, then he calls the 11th one 10, nothing would happen to the 11th. So now, as far as the ninth, though, we're saying that it's a gzeres hakosiv, that the ninth one can become Kaddish. Rav Nachman holds only if he made a mistake. And Rav Chista, not about Rav Huna, was saying even if he did it deliberately. So Omalei Ravala Rav Nachman, L'didoch da'amet ta'usa v'lei kamanosei, well, according to you, that you say that only if he made a mistake, not if he deliberately meant to do it, let's see whether that fits with our Mishnah. The Ka'ami B'Shamay L'Basilol, where B'Shamay is arguing to B'Shilol, Iyat Amodim Shilakolot Shi Asiri V'Asiri Chi V'Achadas Asiri Sheshloshen Mekudoshin, where you see that all three of them become Kaddish, V'Ishtiku B'Shilol, and B'Shilol is quiet. Now, B'Shilol does give an answer, but they give a different answer. They say that the fact is that the 8th through the 12th don't become Kaddish, so we see it's not only a matter of his mistake. But in other words, they're accepting the idea that Beis Shammai is saying that a mistake will make the ninth or the 11th Kaddish. Well, Leimru Lahoin, so Rava says, according to Terem Nachman, according to your understanding that the whole din only applies if there was a mistake, Leimru Lahoin, then shouldn't Beis Hillel answer Beis Shammai, Mala Meiser Shekain Ene Kaddish B'Kavona? How are you even comparing with Meiser? Meiser wouldn't become Kaddish B'Kavona because you're just saying that if he deliberately calls ninth one 10, then it doesn't become Kaddish. So how do you compare it with Hekdish? Hekdish, you can do B'Kavon, or you can do B'Tos. So this Chilul should be telling this Shammai, forget about 8 verses, forget about the 8th or the 12th, forget about the fact that Maisa Behema has special rules. By Maisa Behema, only a mistake will do it. By Hekdish, even by Hekdish mistake or deliberately will do it. So you see, they're nothing alike at all. So doesn't that show more like Rav Chista and Rav Barav Huna that the din of Meiser applies even if it was deliberate? And then in that case, it is more similar to Hekdish. So Omer Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, Hainu Taimu Delei Ami Lahoin. No, because you could say the reason why the Stilol did not say that to Bis Shammai, because you would say to Kavachoymer, because otherwise Bis Shammai would answer them back with a Kavachoymer. Ma Meiser She'ene Kodesh, Madach with Meiser, Hena Kaddish B'Kavona, Madaf Meiser with the ninth one does not become Kaddish according to Rav Nachman B'Kavona if you did it deliberately, Kaddish B'Tos, and yet it becomes Kaddish if you mistakenly call it the tenth, Hekdish, Kaddish B'Kavona, like Hoshkin, Hekdish then, which can become Kaddish deliberately, so all the more so that should become Kaddish if you made a mistake. So you can make a kavachomer, and therefore Basil didn't even want to bother making the argument to Bishamai. But Rav Shimi Ba'ashi continues, Veloihi, actually it's not so. In fact, that wouldn't be a valid kavachomer that Bishamai could use back. The hektish bedaita the moritori, because ultimately hektish depends on the das of the owner. So therefore you could say that would be a valid reason to say that hektish toes is not chal. Only by Maisa Sheni, you have Xeris Akosu, and therefore, it's chal b'tos. So you could say, in other words, it's true. So Rava is asking Rav Nachman, why didn't Beis Hillel use that argument? Rav Shimi Ba'ashi is saying because Beis Shammai could have answered them with a kavachomer, but the truth is, it wouldn't have been such a good kavachomer. So fine, This Hillel, so Tosfos says, okay, this Hillel would say that, listen, that we have two possible answers that we can give to you, Bais Shammai. One, to say that Hekdesh is, that Maisa Behemah is not like Hekdesh, because by Maisa Behemah, it's only the 9th and the 11th, so it's only Xeris HaKosuv. And the other possible answer is we could distinguish between Tos and Kavona. So we picked one of the possible answers and we're giving it to you, but in fact, we have the other, and it's more straightforward because you, Bais Shammai, agree with 8 and 12, about 8 and 12 as well. So therefore, we're going to just give that argument rather than the other one, which you're going to answer us for the Kavach Chomer, and then we would have to show how that Kavach Chomer is invalid. Okay. Next, Mishnah continues. Misha Nodar Ben Nazir. Here's another case of kind of Hekdesh Tos. A person made a Neder of Nazirus, and he expected to use animals that he already had at the time to be able to bring his korbanos. He goes to get his animal, and he found that it was stolen. So now he wants to use that as a basis for Ataras Nedarim. He can't afford, Tosfos says, we're talking about he can't afford to buy other korbanos. So if I have animals available now, then I'm willing to become a Nazir. If not, then not. So is that valid? So if he had made the Nazirus before the animal was stolen, he's a Nazir. Then he's a Nazir. When he made the Nazirus, he was home and he knew the animals were there. So then he remains a Nazir because to do otherwise would be what we learned in Nedarim called Koschen Menoilad. You can't be Matur Neder based on Noilad, based on something new that happened, and then Tosfos adds over here that was unexpected after the Nazirus was made. To have something that you can have something that's regularly expected to happen, so that's fine. We can say the Chacham can tell him if you had realized that consequence, would you have made the Neder, and that's a valid Pesach. But here, where it's something it's not expected that your animals should get stolen, therefore that would be an example of Noilad, and therefore that doesn't work. But if it turns out that he had made the neder of Nazirus only after the animal was stolen, so the animal was stolen, he didn't know about it, he said Nazirus, later on he came home and discovered the animal was missing, then ain't a Nazir, then he's not a Nazir, in other words, then the Chacham is able to be Matir Neder on that basis. We don't mean, in other words, that he's not a Nazir as if like he can just decide on his own, I'm not a Nazir, it means the Chacham can use that as a basis for being Matir Neder.
If when you said out the Nazir, the Behemoth were there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's two possibilities. There could be that when he said I'll be a Nazir, the animals were actually there, and then later on they got stolen. Or you can have where when he said the Nazirus, the animals were already stolen. He just didn't know it at the time. And those are the two cases of the Mishnah. It was suffered to something else. So the Mishnah continues. This is the mistake that Nochum Amodi made. We learned about him at the end of Ksubas. He was one of the Dayanim Zeris in Yerushalayim. He was one of the Dayanim who specialized in Dinei Mominus. So he lived at the time of the Churban. So this kind of thing is the mistake that Nochum Amodi made, that he thought that you can use Nola to be Matur Neder. What happened was, Sha'olu Nazirim in Agola, there were Nazirim who came up from the Gola, from outside Eretz Yisrael, whereas we learned before, they would have to keep Nazirus again in Eretz Yisrael, fine, but in any case, the point is, eventually they're going to have to bring their korbanos, because their Nazirus is not over until they bring their korbanos. Umotsu Beis Mikdash Chorev, and they found the Beis Mikdash is destroyed. So now they can't bring their korbanos, so they stuck. But if you had known that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, would you have made the Nazirus? So they tell him no. And he was Matur Neder for them on that basis. And now they're okay, even though they can't bring their korbanos. But when this matter came to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim heard about what Nochum Amadi had said, they said that's no good. If a person made his Nazirus before the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, then we can't use Noilad. The Beis Mikdash being destroyed is Noilad, therefore he's still going to remain a Nazir. But if he made the Neder after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, so let's say for the Beis Mikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So, So if he made them, so let's say the news hadn't reached him by the middle of Av, let's say, or the beginning of Elul, the news hadn't reached him yet, and he said, I'll be a Nazir. Eventually, he finds out that, you know what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Well, then, he then ain't a Nazir, then he's not a Nazir, meaning, in other words, because then we have a valid Pesach for him, or not even a Pesach. Then we would say, you don't even need a Taras Chacham, because then, in effect, it's like he made the Nazirus based on a Tnai, and the Tnai didn't come to him. Yeah. So it's one thing with the animals, for example, when he makes the neder of Mizirus, you know, it's not like you could conceivably use other animals for your korbanos. So therefore, we don't say that necessarily it was a tnai that his Mizirus would be chal only if he had these animals, unless he had said so. That is why he needs hataras chacham. That's why he needs a chacham to be matir neder. You can use that as a pesach, but the neder is still a neder until he asks the chacham. In our case over here, he never would have made the Mizirus if he knew the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Therefore, it's not even chal. Therefore, it's the equivalent of saying that I'll be a nazir only if there's a Beis Hamikdash to bring my korbanos. And since there isn't, then yeah. So the Gemara says, Omer Rava. Now, back in the Nedarim, we learned, and the Gemara is going to bring over here, that Rabbi Eliezer holds, like Nochama Modi of our Mishnah, that you can use Noilad as a basis for being Matir Neder.
So, how would you explain that an example?
Noilad is in our Mishnah, for example, where the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and where the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and they didn't know at the time that it would be destroyed. The Gemara is going to take up that point soon, by the way, but yeah. So different examples, we learned in Nedarim different examples of Noilad. You have, for example, let's say you made a neder not to have Hana from somebody, and later on that guy becomes the sofer, or that guy becomes the scribe who writes things for the city, and therefore you have no choice but to use his services.
If you had known that he would be the one
who's going to become the sofer, you wouldn't have made the neder, but that's still an example of Noilad. In fact, the Rambam expresses it, that the point is, you would still say, I would rather that my neder should still be in effect, and the guy should not be the sofer. The same way over here, I'd rather the Beis Hamikdash was still standing, and my neder should still be in effect. We talked about that in Nedarim, the possibility that maybe, after all, you can use charota as a basis for it, that maybe you could say, I'm mischaret, I regret that I ever made the neder, as opposed to a pesach is more, I wanted to make the neder in the first place, but now I realize there are undesirable consequences, etc. We learned about all that in Nedarim. Anyway, so we learned over there that Rabbi Eliezer held that you can use Noilad for Nedarim. So now, Omar Rabba Shatfuhu Rabbanan Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim overwhelmed Rabbi Eliezer. Shatfuhu is the Malashan Shetef, which means like a rushing water. Tosfos translates it Nitzchuhu, like they won him over. And they got him to agree to their Shitta that you cannot use Noilad. And you see that it's not, because we see in our Mishnah, post can know the divra Rabbi Eliezer, Bachamim Oisrin. Oh, no, not our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Nedarim says that you can use Noilad to be Matir Neder, and the Chum say it's also. And the point is, in our Mishnah, now, Tosfos explains, Rabbi Eliezer lived at the time of the Churban. We have in the story the Agadta in Gittin about the Churban, when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was smuggled out of Yerushalayim, who were the two Talmidim who are carrying him, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Eliezer was living at the time of the Churban, at the time when the story in the Mishnah with Nochum Amadi happened. If Rabbi Eliezer still held at that point, post-Kan Menolad, then when the Chachamim are telling, when the Mishnah says the Chachamim told Nochum Amadi, you made a mistake, Rabbi Eliezer should have stuck up for Nochum Amadi and say, no, as a matter of fact, I hold that you could be post-Kan Menolad. The fact that he didn't shows that by that time he had abandoned that opinion and come to agree with the opinion of the Chachamim that ain't post-Kan Menolad. So therefore, Nochum Amadi couldn't find any Tana that would support what he had done.
But he also had Harata, or he didn't have Harata?
Who had Harata? Nochum?
Yeah.
Doesn't say.
Oh.
In any case, the point is that the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention that Rabbi Eliezer stuck up for Nochum Amadi shows that by that time he had changed his opinion.
Rabbi Eliezer
had changed his opinion. But the Gemara continues, V'omar Rabba, Afogav the Omer Rabbanon ain't post-Kin Menolad. Even though the Chachamim are saying you can't make a Pesach for a Nedu using Noilad, Av post-Kin B'Tnoi Noilad. But you can use the conditions of Noilad, meaning conditions that depend on something that's Noilad. So what does that mean? Heshi Dami, Ami, so Ami Lahoin, we tell the person, for example, we could tell these Nazirim, in Nochum Amadi's case, we could tell them, Ilu osa inish v'omalachoin. If a person had come to you when you made the Nazirus, and he had told you, don't take on the Nazirus, to chora Beis Hamikdash, because what if the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed during your Nazirus, and then you're stuck? me have a nadirtum, would you have made the neder? And if they say that no, we would have listened to that person, then the Chachamim agree you can use that as a Pesach for the neder. So Rabbeinu Azriel points out, we can't have them themselves say that, but if we knew that the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed, we wouldn't have made the neder. That's not considered charata. But here, in other words, if somebody had come and told you that, and you would have said, you know what, it's true, it's not a good idea to make the neder, so now we can use that as a basis. They have charata, they're regretting, it's not so much a Pesach, but more charata, that they're regretting that they ever made the neder, that somebody didn't come at the time and give them such advice that they would have listened to it. So therefore it's considered a harata, and therefore we can be matter the Nezirus on that basis. So now the Gemara says, Omar of Yosef, if I had been there at the time of Yosef's in Amora, he's hundreds of years after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, and hundreds of years after Nochem Amadi. But Rabbi Yosef is saying, if I had been there, Hava Amin Alahoin, I would have told them that actually the Churban of the Beis Mikdash could have been expected. Now, there's a few different ways of understanding what Rabbi Yosef means by that. Who would he have spoken to? Tosfos says that it means that he would have been the one to advise those Nazirim and tell them, you know what, it's not just a hypothetical thing that the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed. We actually have a pasuk that implies that it's going to be, and therefore don't take on the Nazirim. There's different other explanations who Rabbi Yosef would have been speaking to. The Rosh explains that he says, I would have told the Chachamim that the Beis Mikdash being destroyed is not considered nolad, because in fact you have psukim that imply that it's going to happen, so therefore it can't be considered something completely out of left field like that. It could be considered something that would actually be expected.
Very open psukim.
Yeah, we're going to see in a second. And then a third possibility, the Mefarish gives a third possibility that Rabbi Yosef means, I would have told the Chachamim about the last case of the Mishnah, that you're saying that if a person made the neder after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, then the Chachamim said he's not a Nazir, I would have told them that actually that's not considered a Charata, because even beforehand people should have known from the Psukim that the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed, and still they took on Nazirs. So there are three ways of explaining what Rabbi Yosef means. Anyway, what does he mean? Hoksiv. So Hava Amin Alahoin, I would have told them Hoksiv. You have a Pasuk in Yumiya. Yumiya is giving Nevuah before the first Beis Mikdash is destroyed, and you have various Rishoyim over there who are ignoring him. And the Pasuk says, they say Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima. Three times they repeat the expression Heichal Hashem. So what does that mean? Zem Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni. That means the first Beis Mikdash and the second Beis Mikdash, meaning that the Rishoyim are saying, so what if the first Beis Mikdash gets destroyed, as you keep on warning us? We'll have a second one. So what if the second one gets destroyed? We'll have a third one. And the fact that it's written like that in the Pasuk implies that they knew that the Beis Mikdash is going to be or could be destroyed, so therefore it can't really be considered a nolad. So again, according to the three possibilities, Rabbi Yosef would be telling the Nazirim themselves, he would be telling them that why didn't you pay attention to this Pasuk and hold back from taking on Nazirus. Tosfos also mentioned the point, by the way, the third one is going to be by the Yom HaGadol Va'anora, and it'll never go away. That's why you don't have another Heichal Hashem after it. But anyway, Tosfos also mentions, by the way, that on the Pasuk over there, Rashi has a different explanation of the three times Heichal Hashem. It means that we go there on Sholosh Regalim, and therefore Hashem is not going to destroy it, so we don't have to listen to you, etc., etc. But here the Gemara is understanding that it refers to the three Batei Mikdash. So either they're saying, in other words, that we don't have to worry, the Beis Mikdash is not going to be destroyed, or they're saying, even if it is, there'll still be a second one, there'll still be a third one. So therefore, the point is, it's still something expected. But Rabbi Yosef says, fine, maybe they could have known that the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed. Did they know when? So it can still be considered noilad, or it can still be the Nazirim would say, we figure it's a good idea to take on the Nazirus anyway. But Omer Abaya, v'loyadin la'emas, what do you mean? They wouldn't have known when the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed. You have a pasuk in Daniel. Daniel is very bothered by the fact that he thinks that the 70 years of Golas Babel are not over, are already over, and the Mishnah has not been rebuilt. Yeah, what happened was 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael, then his empire was gone, was defeated by Koresh and Dayavish, and Koresh gave out the announcement that they can go rebuild the Mishnah. Then what happened? That Sora Yehuda Ben Yamin, Kusim, and other groups over there came in and got stopped. So now Daniel was very worried. It seems that Golas Babel is already over, and Hashem had promised through Yirmiyah 70 years the Golas is going to last, and then the Mishnah is going to be rebuilt. What happened? So he starts fasting and davening. The psukim that we say, in Vohurachum and in Slichas and whatever, when we have the psukim from Daniel, Ba'ata Hashem Alakena Asher Etesa Eshamcha Meretz Yisrael Biyad Chazaka Kechol Tzidkasecha Yoshev Na'apcha B'Hamaspa. Those are part of Daniel's tefillah at that time. So then a malach comes to Daniel and he explains to him. He says, first of all, you misunderstood the 70 years of Golas Babel. They don't begin from when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael. They begin from when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, which means there's another 18 years to go, and that's exactly what happened. The Beis Hamikdash's construction was interrupted for 18 years. Then when Dariavish, the son of Esther and Achashverosh, came along, then he did. The Nevi'im said it's time to start rebuilding again, and eventually they got official permission from Dariavish and finished it. But second of all, the Malach tells Daniel, you should know that there's going to be, from the Churban Bayis Rishon until the Churban Bayis Sheni, is going to be 490 years. 70 years of Golas Babel and 420 years of the Second Beis Hamikdash. So that means, says Abaye, so they knew the Second Beis Hamikdash is destined to last 420 years. So what are you telling me against Rabbi Yosef that they wouldn't have known when the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed if they analyzed those Pesukim and Daniel? They would have realized.
So it was very clear that the second mission
was going to be destroyed after 420 years. Now, I mean, Pashtus, like any Nevuah for bad, you know, if they had acted properly, it wouldn't have had to happen. You know, in general, when Hashem gives a Nevuah for something bad, it doesn't necessarily have to come true, because the people can do tshuva, or Hashem can be Erech HaPayim, or whatever, but the point is, not always. As a matter of fact, actually, you know, why did Yonah run away when Hashem tells him to go to Nineveh? One reason is, the Medrash says, because previously he had said in Nevor that Yerushalayim is going to be the end of this, and it's going to be destroyed because of the people's Averis, and in the end Hashem had Rachmanus on them, and it didn't happen. So now people are calling Yonah a false Navi. So therefore, so now when he's given another Nevuah, then he's a little wary of doing it again. He figures if the same thing happens, in the case of Yerushalayim, I think it is, they get Tshuva and Hashem had Rachmanis on them. So now he's thinking, if in Nineveh the same thing happens, people are going to call me a false Navi again. So yeah.
Once they did Tshuva.
Yeah.
That was the Yidden.
Yeah. So, but we see there's an example of a Nevuah Lerah that didn't come true because, yeah.
But remember, this is before.
It's the middle of the first verse, yeah. Yonah is in the middle of the first verse. So the Gemara answers, so what? Fine, even if they knew from the Pesukim and Daniel that the second Mishnah is going to last 420 years, it's not like they would have known what day it's going to be destroyed, near the beginning of the year, near the end of the year. So they still might have figured that they have time to take on Nazirus and for it to be finished and for them to bring their Korbanos before the Mishnah is going to be destroyed. So therefore, we're left with what the Chachamim say in the Mishnah, that after all, it is considered Nolad, and you can't use it as a basis for a neder, and according to Tosfos' explanation, if Rabbi Yosef had come to these Nazirim and told them, don't take on the Nazirus, the Beis Hamikdash might have been destroyed, they would have told them, you know what, fine, it's the 420th year, but it could still be another month from now, we don't have to worry, we still have time.
The Nolad here is that it's possible.
Something very unexpected, something, of course, conceivably it can happen. Conceivably, this person could be made besoy for her ear, but it's very unlikely for it to happen. It's not something Tosfos explains over here on Amud Aleph, that you have some kind of thing that typically happens, so therefore he should have thought of it at the time of the neder, and if he didn't, then the Chacham can use it as a Pesach. Something that is loy shchiach, something that's very unlikely, and he shouldn't have thought of it. So that's what the Gemara is arguing. Rabbi Yosef is arguing that based on the psukim, they should have known that it's a quite reasonable possibility. And the answer is that no, they still, first the Gemara says they might not have known what year it would happen, and then with Abaye's explanation, fine, but they wouldn't know when in the year it would happen.
So it is considered
Nolad, and therefore the Chachamim against Nacham Amadi are saying in the Mishnah over here, it's considered Nolad, that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed during the time when they're Nazirim, and therefore we can't use that as a basis to be matter their neder. It could happen, but it's so unexpected that you can't use that as a Pesach to be matter their neder. Okay. Everyone.